5 weeks or so, we're going to follow the story of Frank and his wife Cassie and his son Evan, who you saw give the plane to the other boy, and Ray, the groundskeeper, who some might even say is an angel, a messenger of God that's come to this family. In this week's film, Frank and his financial planner, Alan, at the beginning of the movie, talk about how to double Frank's earnings and holdings, which reminds me of another story that Jesus told concerning a rich young man who had barns that were stuffed to the gills. And they were already at the breaking point when he had another successful harvest, another successful growing season. And so what he said is, I have nowhere to store my grain, so what shall I do? Well, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns and I'll build bigger barns so I can put everything into those bigger barns. In that parable, the rich man is called a fool. It's one of the harshest critiques that is leveled by anybody in the Bible against another human being, because a fool was considered somebody that had absolutely no wisdom, no ability to discern what mattered in life. A fool is someone who does not understand from whom all blessings flow. A fool thinks that he or she is alone in this universe and that there is no deity or there is no accountability for the decisions that we make, that we're isolated individual islands that have to secure everything ourselves because there is no other entity, no other force in the universe that is watching out for us. And as a result of that belief system, many act out of what we call and give out of what they call the finish line approach to giving. Finish line approach to giving. The finish line approach to giving says, I'll give when I've got this or when I've got that. Then I'll be ready to give. Finish line giving means we end up giving nothing, however, or something far less than what we would even consider to be our best. We've all been there. We've all known what that feels like. Some of us might feel it in terms of the pocketbook. Some of us might feel it in terms of the time that we can invest. Some of us can feel it in terms of not wanting to share particular gifts that we have because we just don't think that they're good enough. Maybe you have felt like this at some point in your life, that you didn't have enough time, you didn't have enough money, you didn't have enough talent. So we said to ourselves, well, then next year I'll give my best. When I'm freed up, then I'll give something back to God. Now, before we go any further, let's examine something important about what we just saw. When we look at Frank, you see somebody with far more to give than probably you have or I have. But what about Ray? Ray is somebody who only has his service to offer. He doesn't have a lot of money. Or Evan, his son, he certainly doesn't have a lot of money. He's just a boy. But he gives his very best. He gives the best thing that he has, the toy that he loves the most. And Cassie, Frank's wife, well, she's got the responsibility that goes along with setting up for the family to enjoy and giving out of the abundance that the family has to another family from the Philippines. The truth is, you see, we all have gifts, including Frank. We all have gifts that have come to us from God, from beyond us. And the principles of living generously apply to all of us, even though this series tends to focus on Frank, who's rather a bit wealthy. It's a series that will speak to all of us because it's not about just money that we're talking about. When you look over your life, which of these is the hardest for you to give up? Is it your money? Is it your time? Is it your talent? Is it your stuff? Is it your space? We all have areas in our lives that are precious to us. For some, writing a check is nearly impossible. They don't have enough to make ends meet till the next paycheck comes in. For others, giving an hour a week is just inconceivable because they're so busy in their work schedules. And still others cannot fathom allowing a needy family to press in upon them or upon their home in any way because they just don't have the space or the time to take care of somebody like that. It's not the same issue for any of us, is it? It really depends on what's presented to us. In a way, it's almost as if God gives us the very thing that we think we can't do as a way of showing us we can. But we most often, when we approach those kinds of situations, say, I'll wait. I don't have enough time. So the question becomes, when does giving become a default position for us as human beings? We have a need to give, just as we have a need to receive. Just as we have a need to be blessed, just as we have an ability to be a blessing to others. Do we tend to be more like Frank or more like Ray in this video series? I would imagine that we can honestly say that we're a bit like both. I know I am. I mean, there are times when I've just thought, well, we just don't have enough kids in college and so forth. I can't up my giving to the church because we're pinched. My wife, Dottie, just like Cassie's always telling me, God's always been good to us. God's always been good to us. And she's right. God always has been good to us. And somehow when I go beyond myself, when I stretch beyond my means, I find that out to be true, right? It's the interesting thing about faith is it's not something that I can argue you into. I can't persuade you. It's something that you have to try yourself. It's an existential experience. It's stepping out, so to speak, of your comfort zone in whatever areas that might be. It might be time, it might be money, it might be your talents. But all of us have a default position that we tend to go to. And what causes us that response is the question I'd like us to think about. These are some of the questions that we'll be asking ourselves over the next several weeks because God already is aware of what our needs are. God already is aware of where our hearts are and is trying to help us move beyond our fears. That's the greatest thing that gets in the way for all of us is fear. It's not doubt. It's not hard questions. It's none of that. It's fear. Fear to see the blessings that are meant to be shared and not hoarded. Fear that we won't have enough if we give it away this time. When we look at the story of Luke's gospel that Jody read to us of the man who asked Jesus how and what he must do to inherit eternal life when he comes to him, he knows the correct answer. He knows what the correct answer is. The answer is he just can't act upon it. To love the Lord your God, he answers Jesus, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. To love the Lord with everything that you have. In real tangible ways. And then Jesus says, well, you lack one thing. He says, well, what's that? Well, he says, give away all that you have and come follow me. And the rich man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions, the story tells us. And following that, then Jesus goes into the story of the Good Samaritan about who the neighbor is, who we are called to love in real tangible ways. And he purposely tells his audience, a Jewish audience, that it's the Samaritans, their mortal enemies. That is the neighbor in the case of that story. Just like in this case, we're going to see how Frank is convicted and how he's worked on by God, so to speak, through the angels that come his way, through Ray, through his son, through his wife. Thus, we see it's not for a lack of understanding that we fail to do what the Lord requires of us by putting God first with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and so forth. But it's a limited definition of who the neighbor is. Who do I really have to pay or owe, so to speak, for the blessings I've been given. Our problem isn't with giving, per se. It isn't just about money. Our problem with giving is because of a parallel belief that is stronger than our faith. Fear is what it really is about. Fear is the issue. Fear that God might not be good on his word. Fear that God might not provide for us our daily bread, as we pray every week when we pray the Lord's Prayer. What he promises, or that abundance of life, right? All of the joy, all of the sorrow, all of life. We just think somehow God's not going to deliver this time, so I need to do it myself. We might give lip service to giving, but most of us, for us, the issue isn't about understanding what God requires. It's an issue of trust. It's an issue of where do we really trust our lives? Where do we really trust where blessings come from? In effect, we often act like agnostics, who don't truly believe that God will do what God says. We believe through our actions, or lack thereof, that we need to secure our future all by ourselves, which leads to that finish line mentality of giving. I'll do it next year because I don't have enough this year. I'll give when I've secured my life and the life of my family. The only problem with this is it never results in faith. It never, ever results in faith or giving. It just results in more inaction because we are living out of a place of fear. That we might not have enough, which in turn becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy for us, a vicious cycle of always needing to have more and more and more because what we have given away we think will never come back to us, and never being able to secure enough, therefore the finish line never ever arrives, and we never risk living out of our faith that tells us that God is in charge and will provide. The only way to conquer that fear is to existentially step out, to find out if God is good to his word or not. In our movie, Evan had an airplane. Frank had watches. Ray had his service. We all have something to give, our time, our talent, our resources, and the list goes on. What each one did in our film was make a choice, which reflected their true belief structure, which reflected what they believed in. It reflects the nature of their heart, their view of God, their trust. And as in the case with Jesus, when he says, and a child shall lead them, his son is the one that demonstrates for his father how natural faith is for him. He understands it. He doesn't have to have it explained. He trusts that more good will come even as he gives. So as we go through this stewardship season, I want you to look at some questions. I want us to ponder some ideas. Where is your heart today, for example? Does your heart take joy in an opportunity to honor God through giving? Or does that scare the bejeebers out of you? Or does your heart search for reasons that you can't give this time? What are you willing to give to God? What is it that you're willing to give your best for? Spend time this week. I really want you to spend time this week talking with God, praying, listening for that still small voice, that instinctual thing that comes to us sometimes in our gut. We call it that gut feeling. Trust your gut. And find out where you're giving your best, right? Look at your life. Look at your priorities. Look at where you give your first and your best. Why would we ever want to give less than our best? Why would we ever want to do that, right? I always feel better when I give my best. I never feel great when I've just kind of gotten by. It's like getting a C on a test. I hated C's. It was either an A or nothing, in a sense. Go for the top or don't go at all. What is God asking for us to give as a sign that we understand from whom our blessings come from? What, in terms of our time, or our commitment, or our money, or our service, are you doing the same thing that you did last year? Or are you growing? These are questions I want us to ponder. Are you afraid for your future? There's a lot of fear out there in our society today. Fear is the thing that we're constantly combating. Are you afraid for your future? Are you afraid you're going to be able to retire okay? Or that you're going to have enough to live on when you can no longer work a 9-to-5 or whatever kind of job you're working? Or do you see God blessing your future? Do you see God taking care as you look back over your life? Do you see God having been faithful to you all the way up to the point now? Because that's how you understand what the future might hold, is by looking at your past. These are some of the questions that I hope we will consider and we will explore in terms of what it means to live generously so that others may simply live. Amen.
Yeah.